that she had a baby. And I want to read this to you this morning. It's a song that my mom would sing when we were in church, and maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. And it was, let me go over to the next slide there. There are people who are whispering, and the rumors are running wild. There's a woman who's not married, but she is going to have a child. Her name is Mary, and she's a virgin from down in Nazareth. I need you to listen close. She's going to marry a man named Joseph, but the baby's father is the Holy Ghost. And who do you think would believe such a thing and could believe that this story is true? And who do you think would believe such a thing? Here's hoping to heaven that you do. You see, now they're saying that she's had the baby in a barn in Bethlehem, and the star moved round in heaven till one stopped right over them. And then some shepherds said an angel came and told them about the birth. You see, they always knew that men went to heaven, but finally now God had came down to earth. And who do you think would believe such a thing and would believe that this story is true? And who do you think would believe such a thing? Here's hoping to heaven that you do. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, you're amazing today. Lord, we're thankful that you came down not to just to celebrate Christmas. Lord, I'm one of the people who loves all that stuff, Lord, but God, I thank you that you came down to save somebody like me. I'm thankful, Lord, that you made a redemptive plan for my children, for our future generations, Lord, for everybody here in this church, for our community. God, Lord, I thank you for that you love us today. Lord, that you are so good in all things. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Over 2,000 years ago, people were whispering about a woman named Mary. You see, this woman was only about around the ages of 15 to 16 years old that many Christian historians believe. At that time, Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph. This was also known as a formal engagement in the time of the Jewish culture. In Luke chapter 1, verses 28, Mary is described as what? Highly favored. She was a highly favored woman. Now I need to ask you all a question. For those who have teenagers in here, I finally now have a teenager. That's scary, right? Like, I cannot believe, for those who have seen us when we came in here before Hayden was actually now a teenager, it's hard to think now that my child is 6'3", and is 13, okay, and wears a size 14 shoe. Now listen, could you imagine entrusting your teenager with being a parent of the Savior of the world? There is no way. Absolutely no way. I think about that. Like, how was Mary equipped? How did she must have been a very good girl. She must have had very good teaching and upbringing. Her parents must have trained her well. Laura and I both came from very strict fundamental by the letter Baptist churches. And we had Hayden when in our mid-20s. I remember when we went out shopping, right? Okay? We went crazy. I had a really good job at the moment, and so I was like, yeah, let's charge that. So we bought all the best clothes in town for that baby. I bought all the best diaper bags. She wanted this diaper bag that was more than anything that I probably owned today. And we sold it at a garage sale. We had one of the best high chairs. Everything in that little boy's room was color coordinated. I remember when we brought him to church, we were ridiculous. We made him match us for the first 6 months. I'm sorry. I was so proud of him. I'm so glad he's not here this morning. That's why he's sick this morning. The Lord had to have a way in that. When he was a baby, we would make him match us, and he would have these little bow tie suits on and stuff. When we all remember 5, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, when we all wore suits. Yep, thank the Lord that we've came out of that. And amen. And you know, we would want him to match us. And then I remember when we brought him to the Lord to be dedicated, and we all stood up here as a family, and they all gathered around us, and we were on this spiritual high. Oh, we were so holy. And we took him home. And he had colic, and he wouldn't shut up. I'm like, Lord, what did you give me? And at that moment, I was 26 years old. She was 24 years old. We struggled even then. I couldn't imagine what Mary had to go through. My wife was highly educated. I was somewhat educated. I still could not imagine, with the information and the knowledge and the technology that we had today, going back in time, how did Mary do it? We can go to the next slide there. We as believers have to remember one thing. You see, only Jesus was 100% man, and he was the only person who was ever 100% God. Amen. Mary was not. You see, now, how's that possible, Pastor? I'm sorry, Mary was not. She was a highly favored woman. She was not God. Her child was God. 100% man, 100% God. You see, Mary was still a teenage girl. How's this possible? I know. I sat down all weekend and was thinking about this. How is this possible? I never had a daughter. I never had sisters. The closest thing I have ever had a sister to has been Ellen. Can I tell you that? She's became like the sister I really never, ever had. I always said, if I ever had a sister, Lord, it would probably be like Ellen. It's true. And we over the last 2 years, you became like my sister. And I think if I would have had a sister, we would probably about think almost alike. And I think, okay, if I had a sister and it was probably like Ellen, could you imagine Ellen carrying the Christ child? No. Okay, could I think of my wife? No. I couldn't think of one person this weekend who could carry the Christ child. Why? Think about this. Mary still had emotions. She still had fear, and she still had great excitement. She had moments of great joy, and yet Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them all in her heart. She kept all of them, and she pondered them in her heart. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, but Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. This verse is at the very end of the Christmas story. It's the greatest miracle that ever took place on planet Earth. I'm going to tell you, the greatest miracle that ever took place is when Jesus came down. Amen. It's when Jesus came down to Earth. You see, that day, the angels rejoiced in heaven. A star moved around in heaven, stopped right over them. The shepherds, they glorified and they praised God. Because the Savior of the earth, the world, had come down to earth. Then we go on to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says, and this is always the scary part, and when we talk about this verse and for us guys, when the eighth day were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called what? Jesus. The name that was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Listen to that for one moment. Before he was conceived in the womb, what was his name? Jesus. Before the foundations of the earth were ever laid, his name was Jesus. I thank God for that today. That Savior of the world, his name was Jesus. It's the most beautiful name that I have ever heard in my life. Then in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, this is one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story that never gets read. A man named Simeon, who was a just and devout man, was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen Christ the Lord. Simeon held the baby in his arms, and in verses 29 through 32, it says this, Lord, could imagine him saying there, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before my face, of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." Amen. Then it goes on and says in verse 33, Joseph, the stepfather, and Mary, his mother, they marveled. It says they marveled at the things that Simeon had spoken. Could you imagine now being the parent, right? Okay, if I am actually the stepfather, the earthly portion of this family, and this man in the temple is telling me this, and I even know I've had an angel visit me in a dream and all this stuff, wouldn't it still be hard to take it in? They marveled. I marveled when my little boy said daddy for the first time before he said mommy. All right? Okay. So if I would marvel at those little things, why would we not marvel at this? Then it goes on to verse 34. It says, and this is a blessing. And Simeon blessed them. And he said this to Mary. He's talking directly to Mary now, okay? Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. Okay, now think about this. Destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Could you imagine them saying this about your child? I don't know how I would take that. A teenage mother. This old man is telling this to this teenage girl. And for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, I want to paint to you a picture this morning. I like pictures. You all like pictures? Okay, listen, growing up, I was not the best reader in school, all right? We're going to put that out there. And grammatically correct, okay, yes, my father was a teacher, but it didn't mean that those genes passed to me sometimes. So I like picture books. You know, I will pick up a picture book before I will anything else. No lie. I love the, I'm like, okay, do they got that on YouTube? But this morning, I want to paint us a picture. Before Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, they traveled about 90 miles for about 9 days. And they were going from Nazareth into Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem to register for a Roman census that was ordered by Caesar Augustus. You see, I need to bring this to you, that Mary and Joseph had traveled through the Judean desert. They had to go through unpaved hills, unpaved roads, unpaved trails. The terrain was awful. They had to go through desert and forest valleys. If the journey took place during winter, which I pray that it did, more than likely there was possibly it rained during that time. Travelers also may have had many different hazards, including lions, bears, wild boars, bandits, and desert pirates. Christian historians believe that Mary and Joseph probably traveled approximately 10 miles per day because she was so far along with child. I couldn't imagine my wife traveling 10 miles a day being 9 months pregnant. All right? Ladies, think about that today. You'd kill your husband almost. Travelers would have also had to have warm clothes for the nighttime temperatures, a fire for warmth, and just a little food and just enough water to get them by. While on their journey, Mary rode a donkey, while Joseph walked beside her. Yet Mary, being very heavily pregnant, it is believed while she was going through the Judean desert, the couple had to travel uphill through the Judean mountains. Now, I want to be totally biblically clear with you this morning. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that she rode on a donkey. Everybody just went real quiet. It's extra Bible. That is what we have perceived, we don't know. Could you imagine if she had to walk 9 to 10 miles a day being pregnant? I think about that. That hit me today. I mean, I think about having to go up trails, having to go up a mountain. You all, she's carrying the Savior of the world. You'd do anything for your child, wouldn't you? Would you do anything for your babies? Do you know, I don't do anything just for anybody. I'm that individual. But when it comes to my kids, watch out. I'm like crazy. There's one person you don't ever mess with, those three children. Now, take me all, that's great. Them, no. No. Why? That's mine. I'll go through great distances to keep them safe. That's what Mary and Joseph were doing. Truthfully, they were going through great distances to keep them safe. Now let's think about the nativity story, okay? We think of a beautiful scene, don't we, when we think of the nativity, don't we? Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so grandiose. Do y'all have a little nativity at your house? We always have one at our home. We have like 2 to 3. I also got 7 trees. Don't get mad. Now, don't get mad. I know. Yeah, I do love Christmas. All right. But when we think of Mary and we're looking at the nativity, we see this really European Mary, don't we? We see a very European, tall, slender Joseph. We see very European-looking shepherds and wise men. They were Middle Eastern. Very Middle Eastern. They probably had very dark olive skin. And by the time that she had that baby, I mean, we don't know exactly what it was like. I'm sure that they were filthy. I'm sure her clothes were not pressed by an iron. All of us who try, have you had to put on a play before in church? And we sit there for hours and iron them stinking outfits that those angels are going to wrinkle. I've done it for year after year. I would go, oh, try to get every. And then one time my mom said, stop, Matt. I'm like, why? I'm like, making it perfect. She was like, they were dirty. Throw some dirt on it, probably make it more realistic. I thought, man, I've been doing this for all these years. It's true. They were nasty. You think about the shepherds when they got there. They'd been out in the fields all night. Anybody ever lived on a farm? Thank the Lord I only had to about 5-6 years. Ooh, sometimes the smell's nasty, isn't it? Sometimes it's rough. Could you imagine sleeping out there with them? Shepherds did. So when by the time that they got there to glorify and praise the King of Kings, they were filthy, everybody. Filthy. The wise men, we always think, oh, we see them in the nativity. They weren't there right away. And when you say that to people, they all go, no way. No. He was a child. Thank you, Elaine. He was a child by the time that they got there. And they had traveled a far distance to get there. They came from Persia, which is now modern-day Iran. Very dark-skinned individuals, so we have a different perceptive of them. I would say probably our perceptions of what the nativity that we think it's like are probably nothing like that at all. You see, when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, there was no room at the inn. Mary, the mother of the Savior of the world, still, stay with me here. She was a teenage mother that had to give birth to the greatest gift this world has ever seen in a stable that was also known as a cave. In and throughout Bethlehem area, there's little caves all throughout the area, and some of them they'd put their animals in. He wasn't even born in a real barn. He was born in a lowly cave that his father carved out for him. You think about that. Well, animals were there, and I'm a clean freak, okay? People who know me very well here, they know that. I am weirdly clean. Okay, Tom Craft, you gave me the eye. I think about this and, yeah, sorry. And I want you to stay here with me. I'm not going to get overly graphic, but I need you to think about this. There was blood on the ground. There was no sanitation. You see, this young girl who was a teenager had no royal palace. She had no hospital. She had no doctors. She had no nurses. She had no midwife. She had a new husband. That's all she had to bring in the Savior of the world. Then she held the baby in her arms and she pondered all of these things in her heart. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want to be realistic with you. Did or have you ever wondered what Mary pondered in her heart? Take a moment here. Have you really ever wondered what Mary pondered in her heart? I had to take a realistic view of this week and ask myself, Lord, what did Mary ponder in her heart? What was she feeling in that moment, in that human moment, carrying the Savior of the world? What was she thinking? And so the question that I had to answer there was, I do. I do. I have wondered what it would be like. You can go to verse 18. Sorry, slide 18. According to the Bible, when Mary became pregnant, or while being pregnant, and being betrothed to Joseph, he initially didn't believe her. I need to ask you a question. Men, this is for you. If your future wife came up to you today and said, hey, honey, I'm going to carry the Savior of the world. Now, don't say it out loud. What would you think automatically? Silence. Good job. I'd probably be right there too. Not my wife. Not my future wife. He got rage. He got mad. You know, the Bible says that he felt that she was an unfaithful woman. Joseph, he had already made his mind up that she was a disgrace to him, meaning trash. Joseph wanted to put her away and considered a divorcement, because then at that time when you were betrothed, you basically had to go through like kind of like an annulment divorce type of agreement. Joseph wanted to fully put her away. But then an angel of the Lord appeared to him during a dream, explaining that the pregnancy was actually from the Holy Ghost. Then I also think about this. I'm sure Mary had to go back in her mind. And she had to remember when the angel Gabriel first came to her in Galilee in the city of Nazareth and said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, could you imagine that? An angel coming to you and saying, blessed are you among women. What happened to Mary? She got scared. She got really scared because this angel is standing in her room and she is a teenage girl. And then Gabriel knew she was going to get a little frightened. And he said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. His kingdom will be there at no end. I've had to ask myself, would I have questioned God in that moment? Can I be realistic with you? I said realistic instead of honest. Gotcha. I would have. I would have been I would have questioned everything. I remember 2009, Laura and I had just lost my grandpa to a tragic accident right before Thanksgiving. 2 weeks before Christmas, we lost our first baby. Thank you. I appreciate you, honey. And then we had, right before that end of that year, I got called into the office at work. I thought I was getting a bonus. Do you know when you get excited to get a bonus and your eyes get real big? I was like, ooh, this is going to be good. I'm like, I had a stellar year. I was a salesman. I had just went through all this tragedy. God's going to bless me. And they slashed my pay in half. You know, I made it through it. Thank you, honey. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Is life tough? Sometimes we go through challenges and we face circumstances that we don't understand. I'm sure Mary was going through some things that day that she didn't understand. Go to slide 19 if you could. But soon after they had that baby, people started to whisper, he's born. He's born. Did you know he's born? He's born. The Messiah's here. He's born. Did you know he's born? It's like playing telephone. It goes all the way around the building. Did you ever play that in school? You play telephone and it goes from one person and then it comes down to the next person. It's totally different. Like the story's completely different. They were whispering. And the whispering soon came to King Herod the Great. King Herod the Great, he ordered a mass killing of all children under the age of 2 years old, in and around Bethlehem, including the Christ child. You see, Herod was a power-hungry ruler, and he feared that Jesus would take his throne. You ever had someone, you ever watched on TV, probably in political things, they don't want to go down, do they? Don't take my place. This is how Herod was at that time. He did not want to be succeeded. But the whispers of Satan, I like this. The whispers of Satan could not stop the birth of the baby. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The whispers of Satan couldn't stop a birth of a baby. The whispers of Satan could not stop an angel to come and visit Mary and Joseph and warn them of Herod's plan. And so Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt with the baby. And they had to stay there until Herod died. You see, over 2,000 years later, people are still whispering about Jesus in a stable. We still whisper about him, don't we? We whisper about him. Joy to the world. We don't want to sing it too loud. We don't want to offend nobody. The Lord has come. Let earth receive your king. Don't we? We about half sing it like that, don't we? Let every heart repair him room. Then we go to silent night, silent night. We don't sing it to the top of our lungs, do we? We're afraid if we offend somebody. I'm one of those people, I really don't care. I'm that individual. I'm like, joy to the world. See where I'm at? We don't want to offend them. So we keep it real silent. And we keep it at a dull roar. And we do that silence, Satan works. Did you ever think what Satan's doing is we silence out the name of Jesus? We've even changed him in our hymns. We've taken out things about the name of Jesus. Satan's been convincing our children that Jesus is a fairy tale. Do you know how many children come through our church through programs who probably believe that Jesus is a fairy tale and it's not real? Come to Bible school. He is a fairy tale. No, he's not. Amen. And we have to do it in a very loving way. Because the world has already portrayed him as a character. He's like a Marvel hero that whoop came out of the grave and shot up to the sky. That's what we think of him as today. We made him a cartoon. We've painted him in a picture that's very different. See, here's what's the harder thing. Satan already convinced their mom and dad that coming twice a year to church is going to get it. Don't get mad at me. Stay with me this morning. It takes more than twice a year. It takes committing your life fully to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I be honest with you? If you commit your life to a personal, wonderful Savior, you'll want to be here. I go back to an individual called Marilyn Carr who got out of the hospital and came to church. She's my hero. I think of people like that. You can't take it away from her. You can't get it out of her heart. She got it on her, right? We know that not everybody's like that. But Satan's convinced our mom and dads that it's not real. You know what's even harder today? Satan has convinced the minds of our teenagers and our college students free thinking, free living is okay. I mean, that's a hard job I got sometimes. Free thinking, free living. Why? Because I was one of them. I was a PK. You know, you all talk about PKs. Probably half them stories are true. We don't have to talk about them. And I want you to know something. Free thinking, free living, don't get it. It's coming to an almighty Savior and accepting him as your personal Savior. You know, why would we choose Jesus? This is what they're saying in their mind. Why would we choose Jesus if he's still in a manger and if he's still on a cross and if he's still in a tomb? If you believe that, or you're dealing with somebody or a family member who believes that he's still wrapped up in his grave clothes, I need you to get this morning and tell this to somebody. He ain't no longer, sorry, ain't, it's not a word. He's no longer in the grave. He's no longer on the cross, and he's no longer in the grave. He's no longer in the manger. He's no longer on the cross, and he's no longer in the grave. Me and Ellen went through a 12-week class together to teach children, and we'd have to come to this part, and we'd say, he's alive again. And there was someone in there who would do it in a very high voice. He's alive again. And I would laugh every time. And can I be honest with you? He is alive this morning. Amen. Buddha is a statue. Muhammad is wrapped up in his grave clothes. My Savior rose on the third appointed day, and on that 40th day, he ascended into heaven with over 500 people watching him go up. That's who you serve today. You serve the one and the only living God. Why don't you want to celebrate him for? Why don't we want to celebrate him for? I love Judy and Zelma. You know I was going to talk about you today. They come in here and decorate. I wish everybody would get a little bit of their Christmas spirit. They come in here and they play a little bit of like bluegrass Christmas music, and it's beautiful. And it reminds me of being at home. And they're happy. And you know what they do? They share their joy. Why? Because they knew that when they accepted him, whenever they did, that Jesus was, somebody told them he was no longer in a manger and that he was no longer in a cross and he was no longer in a grave, but he arose. And they have that joy down their heart, and they don't care to serve and help people. There's many of you who love to serve and help people in here because you really got saved. If you believe that like I do, I want to tell you something. I have found that whispers are lies that Satan uses to entrap good people. Think about that for a moment. Whispers are lies that Satan uses to trap good people. Whispers divide nations. They divide churches. They take down Bible-believing Christians. That's a demonic force. Divide nations, divide churches, and they take down Bible-believing Christians. That's an anti-spirit. You see, Satan's been trying to stop the birth of the baby. he never could. So who's going to be his next target? All of us. All of us who put our hope and faith and trust in him. That's it. You're a target. You see, from the garden with Adam and Eve until the day of the rapture, Satan will use whispers to make people turn from God. I want to give you hope today, though. Do you know there's hope? There's hope today. We forget that there's hope. You may be pondering things in your heart and in your mind, and Satan has used whispers and told you, don't come down to an altar. You know, if you come down to an altar, there ain't nothing ever going to happen down here. You're never going to get saved. Your problems will never get better. You're never going to get washed in the blood. Am I telling the truth today? It's never going to change. That's not Jesus telling you that. If you hear those voices, that's not God. That's Satan. That's Satan who has lied to you time and time again. Now, don't get mad at me on this. Satan has masked a lot of spiritual issues with medical terms. And I believe that there are medical issues, but I believe that there are spiritual issues. Amen. Don't mask it with a medical term. Get saved. Or rectify it with Jesus Christ. You know, if we just be honest and rectify things with Jesus Christ, that burden would roll away. We'd say, roll away, Lord. We used to sing that in church. Roll away. All our sins have rolled away. It has to start with you, me, being honest with an almighty Savior. There's hope today. There's hope in a man named Jesus. He's just not a man. Who is he? He's God. Satan has lied to you about your addictions. You say, ooh, don't go there, Pastor. I'm going there. Why? Because I've had them. And I've had to work on them. Man. Oh, dealing with addiction, that's terrible. You've dealt with addiction as a Christian? Yes, sure have. And let me tell you what I've had to do. Get help. Be honest. Talk with my wife. Work through issues. Get counseling. Get a prayer partner. Work through it. Satan tells you all the time, you're never going to stop being an alcoholic. Stop listening to that voice in your head. Yes, you can. Satan says you're never going to stop being on drugs. I want to tell you this morning, you can in Jesus' name. He can deliver you out of any circumstance or any situation. We say, well, we're an alcoholic forever. No, I am not. I praise God what he's brought me from. And I want to tell you where he takes me to. We say that we are an addict for life. No, I don't like that term on me no more. For a long time, Matt Parsons gave about 90% to Jesus. Maybe 95. And he kept about 5 to 10 to himself. And then that 5 to 10% was a lot of problems. A lot of problem area. We all have a problem area, don't we? And I'm not asking you what your problem area is because that's really not my business. That's personal and your story. We all have a problem area and it's problematic to each of us and it's our story. Do you know when you take that issue to God and you work on that, it's amazing what can come from that. There's hope this morning. Satan's been whispering to our teenagers, to our young adults, to our old people. Immoral living is okay. Fill in the blank. You know what I'm talking about. Chastity, virginity, unmarried believers, it's okay. No, it's not. I was one of them. Someone told me something a couple weeks ago. No, about a year ago. I heard it from Tom. And I was at someplace else and someone told me this. They said, there's three types of people. The ones that didn't get caught. The ones who didn't do, and then the ones who got caught. Well, I was the one who never got caught. And let me tell you, I dealt with a lot of repercussions in my own personal life because of it. And you know what I had to do as about 20, 21 years old? I had to give that to Jesus Christ. That immoral living, my lifestyle, everything that I was doing, I had to give that to God. And through that, God started working in my life. John 10:10, it says the thief is also Satan. This is what he wants to do to your life. You see, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's all he wants to do to you. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy you. That means he came to rob you, he came to murder you, and he came to annihilate you. I can't make it any more plain to that. That's what Satan wants to do to you today. But you know what Jesus came to do? I like this part. Jesus came so that you could have life. And you could have it a whole lot more abundantly. I'm so thankful for grace this morning. If it wasn't for grace, I probably wouldn't be here today. Do you know, if it wasn't for grace, I'd probably be 6 foot under. But thank God I had a good praying mom and dad who didn't stop praying for me. And they prayed for me till I came back to a knowledge of saving power of Jesus Christ. My mom and dad sat me down. They said, don't you ever go up there and play that piano until you get right with God. You all think that's crazy. No, that's a good mom and dad. That's a great mom and dad. I'm thankful for that today. Let's go into the next one here. I want to tell you this. If you don't know who Jesus is, how do you get saved? How can I accept Jesus as my personal Savior? Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So simple. Hebrews 13:5b states this. Never will I leave you. Praise God, and never will I forsake you. Have you ever been through some rough storms? And all you can do is just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. It's been a really bad day, but I thank you, God, that you are still with me and that you never left me. Amen. This is my favorite. The Lord is my helper. I claim that verse every day in my life. You all know me from the praise team. I'm one of the most dyslexic individuals in this world. Thank you, Lord, for the abilities that I do have. Because the little that you gave me, Lord, I thank you that you've been able to do amazing with what you at least gave me. So you're wondering how to be saved and how Jesus can bring you out of your situation. I want to show you today. It's found in Romans 9:10. It says something like this. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. You know it's not real hard to accept Jesus as a personal Savior. You say, Pastor, I'm saved, but man, I can't move past the whispers in my life. Satan has been on my tail night and day. The whispers of Satan, that you see, they complicated things for Mary. They complicated things for Joseph. I want you to know you're on Satan's radar this morning. Mission points on Satan's radar this morning. I'm putting the name out there. We are on his radar. Don't think we aren't. Every church in Mansfield is on his radar. We had almost 30 children saved between teenagers, children, and little kids this year. Do you hear me? Almost 30. It wasn't Matt Parsons who saved them. We don't do the saving. It just wasn't me who led them to Jesus. I see some people here, all over this room. But this in the Bible says, man, how do we get to where we need to be going? It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, are you his people today? If my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Oh, we need a mass healing today. I don't know about you, but I need a mass healing. I don't know where you've been. I don't know how Satan has fought you. I don't know how Satan has attacked you. It's personal to everybody. We all have a personal point in our life. I want you to know, he ain't through with any of us yet. You thought you fought your greatest battle with Satan. No, the next one could be worse. You're like, how does it get any worse than that? It can. It can. Putting this together this week, I had to sit there. You know, even though Mary and Joseph went through some crazy times, man, I would call these crazy situations, wouldn't you? Some crazy situations they endured till the end.